Praise God. I'd like us to turn to Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to read some verses from the chapter 9 to 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came, sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means: I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And that's what Jesus said. He came to call sinners to repentance. So it's the change that Jesus makes. I'd like us to consider that tonight. And we can reflect upon that in our own lives as we listen to the story unfold of Matthew. It can be our story when the Lord came into our lives and made and does make and will make and still makes all the difference in every situation. So you see, here we see then a complete change. And it's set in Capernaum. It's in two parts. Part one, the tax office in Capernaum. That's where I'd like us to begin and consider what happened there. Well, Capernaum, you see, was the chief town and commercial centre in Galilee. In fact, the tax office there could well be the shipping that used the Lake of Galilee coming in, and it was quite a busy and industrious part of that area. Also interesting to note that in a verse prior to our reading, it says Jesus went home. So he lived there. Actually, Capernaum was the headquarters of the Galilean ministry. So wherever he went in that area, he lived there. Why this? Well, I'll tell you why I feel this is so important. Matthew lived there also. Our actually, we'll call him Levi because that was his Jewish name and that was the name he was known by. So Levi was a pen pusher and became Matthew, the gospel writer. That's the change, you see. God uses the abilities and everything that we have, we have to glorify him. So there it is, the tax office in Capernaum. Now his then, of course, as we know, was a lucrative occupation. Yes, it was, because there he was making money, dealing with money, and that was his life, basically, and that was his job. He was just sitting there at the seat of custom, taking it all in, writing it all down, day in, day out. That was the way he went, every morning the same. Got up, went to work. That was the routine. But you see, there was one day that was different. And that's the day that's always different. For us, that's the day when Christ came into our lives. This is the day for Matthew when Jesus came into his life as well. It was just like an ordinary day, but it was an extraordinary end of the day, which we'll see later on. So there he is, a day never to be forgotten, nor will it ever be, or can it be, that day of salvation when Jesus changed our lives and we're never the same again. We never can be, because we're free and set free. And Jesus said that he came to set sinners free when we trust in him. So here Jesus calls. And there's Matthew sitting, you see, at his desk. Next, you know, just the routine. Next. But you see, suddenly it's different. He looks up, and standing before him is Jesus himself, who doesn't need to pay the tax. But there he is. And he's standing before him. So he looks up and there he sees, next. He didn't realise he was next. But he was next for salvation. You see, that's the lovely thing. When Jesus comes, he is and makes all the difference. That's the change. When you're in the presence of Jesus, you can never, ever be the same again. You cannot. And it wasn't for Matthew. It's the same for us as well. So there it is, stand before him was Jesus. His voice, the voice of Jesus spoke right into the life of Matthew. See, because his words were, follow me. That's all he said. He never went into an explanation of why or what. He just simply said, follow me. Well, how was this that the words of Jesus could have such an effect in the life of a man like that, who would probably be given up by the rest of the Jews as someone of no importance? He's ripping us off, you know, that sort of principle. But you see, he mattered to Jesus most, more than all, and so do we, because Jesus knows the end from the beginning. He had for Matthew that special place as one of his followers. Matthew had no conception of what lay ahead of him. And you know, isn't it a marvellous thing in our experience? Neither did we when we took that step. But all the difference that Jesus makes when we reflect and continue where we are on with his presence. So Matthew, I feel, was sitting there, and it was his conscience. Really, it was his mind that was doing the work, because nothing needed to be said. Because you see, as I've said, Jesus was in Capernaum. The whole place was buzzing with the fact of his miraculous ministry. You know, wherever Jesus was, people were. Wherever he went, people wanted to know what it was all about. Interesting, people went to him. But in this case, Jesus took time out to go to an individual. Why? Because each individual is precious to him. Each individual is important to Jesus. So are we. It's that unique individual experience personally with him that makes all the difference. And it's always a lovely thought that he always has time for everybody. And he gives us all the time we need and all the time we'll ever want. And just at the time when we need him most. And it's the time that makes all the difference. The time in here was perfect for Matthew. He had no idea what was going to happen, but it did. And what a marvellous thing. And so it's the voice that speaks. Jesus simply said, follow me. And he did. And he left the lot. And it didn't matter, because he just went with Jesus. I think in his mind and his conscience, he was probably thinking, there's more to life than this. It's true, you know. When your mind starts reflecting, thinking about Jesus and his ministry, looking at yourself and thinking, you know, what difference is it? And Jesus knew exactly what he needed. And so the conviction was working in his life. That's why he got up straight away, because that was the answer to his need. He knew he had a need. Jesus is the answer, always is the answer, always will be to every individual need, more so the need of salvation. Jesus knew his man, ready to receive the good news. Who knows the mind of men in conviction more than God? Who understands how we feel more than him? He created us and every way we are. He understands exactly just what we need at every given time. And God requires always a response. And Jesus still calls, thank God, sinners to repentance. And that's the message. Be saved. Trust me. Just get up and come with me. And I'll take you wherever it goes. Wherever I am, you're there. Wherever he is with us. Now that's part one. That was the tax office in Capernaum. But let's fast track possibly to later on in that day. We're not sure, but certainly part two is the house of Levi from verses 10 to 13. Because what happens is this, there are three groups of people in that house. And we're going to consider tonight for a short while the three groups. And wherever Jesus is, and a really lovely example was at the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, when he raised him up. See, the three groups of people were these. There was those who were for Jesus, who followed him. There were those who were against him because they couldn't accept it and went to the Jews. But the third group was, there were those who were undecided. See, because that's the challenge that Jesus makes at the very end of this. Go and consider, he says. Consider it for yourself. The choice is yours. So, who are the three groups? Well, let's look at them together. First group, verse 10, those who followed him. Of course, they were the disciples. And in these days, it was early in the ministry, and we know there was a group of disciples who were his early disciples. Interesting to note of them all, because Andrew, Peter, John and James got their call just that little bit later, but were still part of the disciples. Philip was called exactly the same. Jesus just said to him, follow me. And he did. He found Nathanael and he became one. And so there's a little group, a nucleus of disciples who were there at the beginning. And Matthew joins them because Jesus' purpose is to choose those who will take up the work, take it on and follow him. So theirs was that special place. So there were those who followed him. Second then, there was those, and it says many, tax collectors, interesting, with sinners. Were tax collectors not sinners? You see, it's the perspective. It's the Pharisees, which we'll look at as the third group, who looked at it that way. You know what I mean? He's a sinner because he does this. And that's why Jesus had to deal and will deal and always deal with these situations. He turns the minds of men from the natural, what they can see, to the spiritual, what they need. Always the same. It's where you're looking, you see. Once you're spiritual, the natural things should pass away. The spiritual things should take preeminence. They should always have that place. So that was the second group. The tax collectors with sinners, those who could be saved. Now that's the key to it all. Jesus is talking to them. He is sharing with them himself. He's bringing the news of salvation to these. So there was opportunity for them to be saved. And so that's the second group. And they were, of course, like unto his former occupation. Isn't it a nice thought that Levi, once he found the Lord, wanted to share his newfound faith with those who were like himself? His friends who he knew, those who were close to him, he invited them to the house. I found Jesus. You come along and find out for yourself the difference that he can make. And I needn't comment any more on that because it's the same for us. Time out with Jesus. You cannot get enough of time out, or better, time in with Jesus, right? Take the time out from the world, take the time in with Jesus, and there he was. What a marvellous situation. And there he is ministering in that sense. Now, in verse 11, we have the third group. The third group, of course, were the Pharisees. And they were followers of God's laws. In many senses, the self-righteous, because they took the word of God as it was, but didn't know the spirit of God that they needed. So the letter of the law kills, if you just look at it that way. They needed more than that. Now, the interesting thing about the Pharisees is this. Lots of Pharisees were faithful in many ways. They've been branded because of the chief priests and Pharisees, those that had it in for Jesus from the start and ultimately crucified him in the purposes of God. But in the normal run of things, the Pharisees were a group of people who just honoured God, basically. And so we've got to look at it that way. You've got to make a distinction between the chief priests and Pharisees in prominent position, that position threatened by Jesus because he was declaring the truth when they were declaring nothing, and ordinary Pharisees. Now, why did they go to the disciples? Why not Jesus? Why not him? You see, but Jesus heard. That's the lovely thing about it. He can talk, and he did, and he was, with those that needed salvation. Yet his ear was open, and he was attentive to every single detail that was there. And so he is with us. Nothing's missed, it cannot be, because he is there in every single detail. So he heard. Maybe it was the fact that Jesus was talking that they couldn't sort of say to him, but they asked his disciples. But Jesus heard, it says. And I've just made a little note. Go to the man who can. He can. Of course he can. And don't settle for second best. Never do that. Never go to those. Yes, they'll help. There's only one true helper. That's the Lord himself. And he gives that ministry to everyone to minister as they will. The difference between religion then and a true understanding of salvation. Jesus said himself, I come that you might have life. Life in all its fullness, life in abundance. He is the living Lord. He is the way unto salvation. He supersedes all religion because salvation is an inner experience and not an outward observation, not an outward service, but an inward experience. And thank God we don't go through the motions of religion, but we delight in our Saviour in salvation. And that's why we're here, always to hear the good news of salvation. Now, in John 3, at least one Pharisee was saved. We know that. See, Nicodemus. And he was a leader of the Pharisees as well. And he was in the council of the Pharisees. He was different. You know why? He had an open mind. But better than that, he had an open heart. Because when Jesus talked to him, just like Matthew who heard the voice of Jesus, you know, is marvellous. Because remember when the chief priests sent the guards to arrest him, and they were arrested themselves, because when they got to him, they came back, where is he? Never a man, they said, spoke like him. See, the people heard him gladly, it says. He just held the attention because he is the truth. When the truth has been declared by the truth, you know, that's what it's all about. And so his voice is marvellous when it speaks into our lives too. You know, and that's what I think of Matthew. Just the voice that called him. You know, it spoke right into his life. So Nicodemus, we know, was saved. And he was a Pharisee in many ways that was different. Jesus is the only answer we know for the world and every individual. Now in verse 12, It's not an outward show, because what Jesus was saying, those who are sick need a doctor, not those who are well. He says, you see, sinners are sick because they need salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the fullness of life. I have healing in that life, in every situation. So he uses this as an illustration. Why? To get into the mind thought, to get into the heart, maybe some realization of what he's saying. He's not just a man talking to sinners. He's the answer for every sinner in that situation. And so this is it. Not outward, but show an inner experience. Verse 13, he says, go. There's a follow-up to this, you see. You're the one that's sick. You're the one that needs the physician. I am the physician. I can heal you and deliver you. Again, you see, go and consider this. The follow-up, that's what it is. It's the follow-up with a challenge. Always a challenge. The change that Jesus makes, you're never the same again, whether you're for him, against him, or undecided. God forbid ever that you're undecided. But make a choice, because you've got to make a choice, because your future depends, we know that, on the choice in which we make. Go, he said. That's an action that has to be done. Consider your need of salvation. That's what he's really saying to the Pharisees. You know, you consider where you are. It's a challenge to us all, always to consider where we are. You know, our life always needs to be enhanced by the Spirit of God in every situation. That's why we always need to look and consider in our own experience just where we are, what Jesus requires of us in the ministry that he has for us. And there it is, put into practice a new perspective. And this is the challenge that Jesus makes. For salvation is only found, we know that, in him.